out of gold as instruments of creativity and transformation. Without this world was nothing made. Join God's servant, Sonny E. Oluide, as it brings you into the reality of God's knowledge with utmost simplicity and clarity.
Moment in your presence. We thank you because you've given us your understanding that, Father, all that we'll do here will be to the glory of your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as many that will be following us online, oh Father Lord, we pray as well that, Father, they will understand from what they will be getting from here, from what they will be asking from, that, Lord, it shall be another source for you to reach out to our souls to be enlightened in your word. Lord, we thank you. We exalt your name. We glorify your name. For we pray with thanksgiving in Christ's name. Amen. We are going straight, beginning with the question that says, how will I know that my sins are forgiven? What will be the sign that the Lord God has forgiven my sins when I pray for forgiveness and mercy from the Lord?
Amen. We are not called to live by sight. We are not called to live by feelings. But we are called to live by faith. We are called to live by the word of God. How to know that your sins are forgiven is by knowing what God said. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The moment you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Not for your own name's sake, but for His name's sake. Again, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. I have written to him. Hebrews 8, 12. For I will be merciful to their transgressions, to unrighteousness, and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. I think we have read three different scriptures now. To let you know that the moment you confess your sin, He forgives you and He forgets it. He doesn't even remember them. So the next thing, the best way to know that your sins are forgiven is to know what God said. And take God by His word. And you too, you should have the spirit to forgive yourself and to forget what has happened. That is the spirit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question takes us to Genesis 2:18 and Matthew 19:12. How can these passages be reconciled?
Come again.
How can Genesis 2:18 and Matthew 19:12 can be reconciled?
Let's read them. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him. Matthew 19:12.
Matthew 19:12.
Matthew chapter 19 verse 12.
Matthew tonight.
Okay. For there are some eunuch which made themselves eunuch, Abi. And there are eunuchs that are born. So the question you are asking, how can be to, if you know that you are a eunuch, then there is no point for you to take a wife. Yes. But the scripture says, it is not good for a man that he be alone. He will make an helpmeet for him. Now, if you are a eunuch, you can tell God to change it, and he will change it for you. If you don't want that to be changed, you can continue your union life and leave the woman alone.
Thank you, sir. The next question says, is it wise or acceptable in the sight of the Lord for someone to win souls to Christ even when he is yet to be baptized?
Come again.
That is it wise or acceptable for someone to win souls to Christ even when such a person is not baptized?
Baptized in what? Is it baptized by water or baptized in the Holy Ghost? The criteria to win souls is when you are born again. So your experience alone, what they tell you, what to confess before you become born again, you can share with another person. That's all. Whether you are baptized in the water or not, that is not the key first. The key now is that you will receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If answer is yes, you have the rights and liberty to tell others about Jesus.
Thank you, sir. This question says, what gave Satan the audacity to come for the body of Moses when he died? And does that happen to every soul that died?
What gave Satan audacity to come and request for the body of Moses? Because I was not there that day, so I only know what gave him audacity. But as it is written, when he came to contend with the body of Moses, the Lord rebuked him. So I think it's not what Satan did that matters there. It's what God did. Did God give Satan chance to have the body of Moses? The answer is no. Because Moses' life and Moses' death have no capacity to defend Moses. So the Almighty God had the capacity to defend him, rebuke the devil, and the left. Thank you.
The second part of this says, does that happen to every soul that dies?
There is nothing like that in the scripture. That when a soul dies, Satan will come to contend with his body. There is nothing like that.
So how can one be launched into the cloud of God's glory?
How can someone do what?
Be launched into the...
Belong?
Be launched. How can one...
How can someone be launched into it?
Yes.
To enter into it?
Yes.
Okay,
sir.
Okay. Thank you. Now, number one, you know that you are born. When you are born, God is called the Father of Glory. So when the Father of Glory give birth to children, what kind of children will he give birth to? Sons of Glory. Is that in your Bible? Give us Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Father of glory. The Father of glory. It means every child of God is called a child of glory. Now, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, the glory of God is God's presence. Now, you realize that a child, let's come back home. A child of 4 or 5 years cannot do what his father, which is 50 years old, can do. Is that possible? But did that child have the capacity to do what the father will do in years to come? Yes. What makes that child of 5 years old not to be able to do what his father of 50 years old does? It is because the child has not grown. He has not learned, he has not known. So the more you learn, the more you pray, the more you think of the word of God, the more you worship him, the more you launch yourself into that glory. Because the glory of God simply means is God's presence. What we are saying about launching into God's glory means your humanity is swallowed up by his divinity. This happens by prayer, understanding the word of God, pondering on the word of God, acting on the word of God, and worship. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And what does it mean to say a woman is the glory of the man?
What does it mean? Let's go there and read. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. What does it mean? You will realize that a woman, a man and a woman got married. What will the child that the child that the woman will give birth to? Where did that woman get it? From the man. Before that child come to being, what happened to them? That's intimacy. Now, the intimacy of man with God make man to reflect God's glory. If the man give no woman any seed, the woman have nothing to deliver. So your intimacy with God make God to deposit what is in him into your life. So now he will now be breaking forth through your life. When we say a woman give birth to a child, it simply means a man bring forth what is in him, but through the woman. So that's what it means. For a man not to reflect God's glory, that man must have intimacy with God. Now, for a woman not to reflect the glory of the man, he has to be what? Intimate with what? With the man. This is what we are saying. You will see, if you see husband and wife that they marry for maybe 40, 50 or an above years, you see they look alike somehow. If they are godly, you see if you look at them, they, in one way or the other, they are So because of intimacy, because of fellowship, because of agreement. So now when we go to God as his children, there are things we disagree with. God will say, this is the way we argue. Is that true? Yes. Because we don't know why God tells us what he's telling us. So by the moment we understand the reason why he's telling us, we simply agree without arguing anymore. So the intimacy we are talking about is that even though we are all the attribute of God is a man, the man cannot bring their forth until intimacy with God is in place. So that's what it means. So a man is the glory and the image and the glory of God. Why a woman is the glory of the man. That's what he's talking about.
Thank you, sir. So what is the reality of eternal life?
I think the reality of eternal life, so those who are here yesterday were able to see that the reality of eternal life is the fullness of God. God wants to manifest himself through man. I think we did much there yesterday. We were able to spell it out that eternal life, the reality of it, is so that it will be real, both to the carrier and to those who will experience it through that carrier. Because the major reason is that eternal life is God himself living in man. When a man capture the reality, you'll be able to do what God does through Jesus. Jesus said, the work that I do, you will do also, and greater works. But he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that hath eternal life, will do what I do. It means eternal life was the life of God which Jesus carried. Then the Holy Ghost came to empower him to manifest eternal life. First John chapter 1. Let's read verse 1 and 2. First John 1, verse 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Look at what they handle. Look at what they see with their eyes. Look at what they hear with their ear. The word of life. Verse 2. For the life was manifested. It may be manifested, or your Jesus Christ was the manifestation of eternal life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now, you will see Jesus, before Jesus began his ministry, he was born of the Holy Ghost. He was born without sin. But you know, we were born with sin. And before we came to him, before we received eternal life, our mind was educated by the former old master. So when you now come to him now, for those things to be wiped off, you need to be educated in the life and the nature of God. Before you can manifest that, before eternal life can manifest through your life, every faculty of your being must understand it as well. Because everything you see, everything you hear, go to your mind. And for that to be wiped off of your mind, then there must be another master that will educate you. So that is when, say, the reality of eternal life, before eternal life will become real in the life of anyone, it must occupy your mind as well. That this life is God's life. This life cannot be defeated. This life has the capacity to produce what Jesus produced. Then give us John chapter 5, verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so has he given life, has he given to the Son to have life in himself. So what made God to do all what God does is eternal life. What made Jesus to do all Jesus came to do is eternal life. What God sent Jesus to come and deliver unto us is eternal life. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is taken from John 10, 7 to 8. Who are those? Who were those that came before him, and why are they thieves?
And robbers. Let's go there and read. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by him. Moses is not the way to the Father. No prophet is the way to the Father. That's why Jesus asked to them and said, I am the door. You can only approach God through me. You can only get to heaven through me. So when he said, I am the door, those who have come before him, they are thieves, they are robbers, because the way to the Holy of Holy was not provided. Only Jesus came to provide them. If we look at it very well, the prophet of old said, thus saith the Lord. When Jesus came, Jesus said, I say unto you. You see that two of them have different tones. See, thus saith the Lord. But Jesus said, I say unto you. It means, thus saith the Lord, this is what the Lord said. Jesus can say, I am the Lord that said this. You will realize that no one manifested authority like Jesus, because he is the Lord. Without him, nothing was made that was made. That was what he was dealing with in that matter. None of them saved any life. Only Jesus came to save. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. This question says, I want to know, if somebody paid a bride price, and along the line, such a one said he was not interested in the marriage. Now, is the woman that he had paid bride price on her, is she his wife or not?
I don't know, because I didn't pay one and left. Do you understand the point? Let me tell you the truth today. If you go to a parent and pay the birthright that you want to marry and they agree, you already marry you, whether you like it or not. Because it's not the first day you see the lady that you go to the father. Maybe it takes you up to 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 months. Is that true? Now, you have gone there, and when you go there to pay, you inform your parents or your own family, and the family of the lady were aware. And maybe they come together and they collected the bride price from you. You will see that the day they collected that money from you, they pray for you. Is that true? What kind of prayer do they pray for you that day? That their daughter will do well in your house. So if you say you are not interested again, you go and meet God and meet the parents and settle your matter. Because there is no place in the Bible that says when you pay bride price, you say you don't need the wife again. So I can't do that one. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Does somebody need explanation on Proverbs 14:10?
Proverbs 14:10, let's read it. The heart knoweth its own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. So what is the explanation you are talking about? If you have a challenge now as a person, do you not know that you have a challenge? Eh? Now, did the person beside you, did you know your challenge? Even though if you tell me your challenge, did you feel the pain that you are feeling?
No.
You are the only one that knows the gravity of the pains. The person doesn't know. The person can give you an explanation or an idea of what you should do. But at the moment that you are passing through that challenge, the man was not passing through the same challenge. So when he said the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doeth not intermediate with his joy. Now sometimes maybe God just ministered something to you now and you started rejoicing. The people around you may say, what is this person doing? Is he alright? Is that true? Uh-huh. So what he's saying is that nobody will celebrate your joy for you first. You are the one that knows the reason why you are rejoicing. And nobody will feel your pain for you. If you have pains, you are the one to feel it. They may sympathize with you, they may pray for you, they may do all sorts of things, but you are the one that knows the gravity thereof. If I may ask anyone now, if you ever fall sick before, people will not understand what you are passing through. You are the only one that knows the kind of thing that you are going through. That's why we say, the heart knoweth its own bitterness. It's a very simple explanation. There's no any to worry about. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The father wants to know the term belief and who is a believer.
Come again, ma'am.
The term belief.
The term belief, okay.
And then who is a believer?
A believer is a possessor of eternal life. A believer is he that has received what Jesus came to offer. A believer is he that makes Jesus his Lord, his owner. Lord means owner. John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Who is a deliverer from that passage? He that made Jesus the Lord, he that has eternal life. So a believer is a possessor of eternal life.
Thank you, sir. How can I be the salt of the earth?
The first thing you have to think, what is salt? Let's look at salt in the natural perspective. Number one, what do they use salt for? If something is about spoiling and you add salt, what happens? It will be revived. Is that true? Again, salt added taste to something. It means you should not leave anyone the way you meet the person. You should make sure that anyone you see, the life of that person should be better than the way you meet the person. You must see yourself, you must build up yourself, you may add value to yourself in God's sight to the point that as no one can do without salt, then people should not be able to do without you. It's as simple as that. Say you are the salt of the head. But it proceeds further that if the salt lost its savour, it will be good for nothing. So if you refuse to add value to yourself, you may be good for nothing. That will not be your portion.
Amen.
So women, you know, those women or women generally, sister, whatever, you know, you are the one that cook. You know how you normally add salt to, there is nothing you want to cook without adding salt to it. And God tell us, say, without you, the earth will be tasteless. The earth will be meaningless. Sometimes you need to think that if everyone were to be like you, how would this world be? If everyone were to be like you, well, how would this world look like? If the answer is satisfactory to you, it means you are doing well. But if the answer is not satisfactory, then you know you need to add more value to yourself. And as for adding value to yourself, the reason why you're adding value to yourself is not for you to be more better. It's for you to make other people's lives better. You are adding value to yourself primarily to be a blessing to others. Because that is the reason why God bless you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Let's read verse 2 and 3. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Why would God bless Abraham? So that he can be a blessing to others. Why did God save you? So that you can be a channel of salvation to others. That's the meaning of the salt of the earth. That without you, in the earth, the world will perish. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Looking at Matthew chapter 11 from verse 13 through 14, Matthew 17, 10 through 13. I want us to look at these passages because others are saying that John the Baptist is Elijah.
I think we need to agree with what God said. Before the birth of John the Baptist, it was stated that he will go in the power of Elijah. Give us Luke chapter 1 first. Let's go there. Verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. What does it mean? To turn the heart of the fathers to the children and be disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready people prepare for the Lord. Matthew 11, verse 13, right? For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. 14. And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. Saint Jesus say, this is Elijah, which was to come. I don't need any argument about it. I take it like that.
Thank you.
John 17, I think you talk of Matthew 17. Let's go there.
Yes, sir.
Verse, what was the quote?
Matthew 17:10.
Okay, let's read verse 10.
To 13.
And his disciple asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listen. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Do you see? Jesus painted it for us that he has come already, and they have done to him whatsoever they wanted. So I don't know the person who asked the question. Is your question clear now? I won't know.
I think so.
Thank you. Is it satisfactory? Okay. When someone asks you such question, just tell him, John the Baptist is Elijah to come, but what has that to do with his life? Because John the Baptist is Elijah to come, has nothing to do with your life. Has nothing to do with your destiny. I think the question we should be answering people when they ask us is the question that has something to do with their life and their generation. Anyone that have to just to ask question for asking sake, I don't have business with such person. Because Elijah, whether John the Baptist is Elijah to come, did that help you to raise the dead? Did that help you to cast out devils? Did that make you to heal the sick? Did that make you to spread the gospel? All of these things. If you have nothing to do with your assignment, please push it aside. But that's what God said. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This person wants to know if parents can choose a life partner. And then, secondly, is it right for unbelievers, an unbeliever to get married to a believer and still stay together as husband and wife?
Thank you. Let me begin with that number two. If dog and goat marry, can they stay together? We have said it again and again. Life begets life. A goat and dog, no matter how friendly they are, they can never become friendly for you. They are not the same species. So if we are here, your heart desire is to marry unbeliever, I want to assure you, you will regret life. Because when the Israelites were coming, when God delivered them, he said, do not marry, give your daughter to them, to the stranger, to the nation where you are going. So if in the Old Testament it was stated that don't give your daughter, or you don't get married to a stranger, how much more of now? I know the young lady and some young men who are hungry for marriage, they should be careful. Because what is behind this is more than selling. If anyone, I used to tell people, because we find out something for sometimes now, some people come to us for counseling, but what they will do is in their heart. They just want what we are going to say. But for your blood, for anybody's blood not to be in our hands, we tell them the truth. We open the scripture for them. So anybody is free, it's a choice. But let me tell you, any notion you have that if you marry an unbeliever, you will convert him, you are a joker. In fact, he will end up converting you. Because Jesus said something that I want us to take note tonight. Say, if possible, even the very elect will be deceived. Have you read it in your Bible? How about time is going? It's okay. Then the first question said, can parents, is it right for a parent to choose? There's nothing like that in the Bible. Even when Abraham sent his servant to go and get a wife, he prayed. Do you notice he prayed? He prayed. And Eliezer too prayed. And God directed him. And at the end of that day, when Rebecca was found, when they were to release her, the prayer that they prayed for her was the same prayer that God declared upon Isaac on the mountain. When Abraham offered him as a sacrifice to God. So to let you know that when you meet the right person that God ordained for your life, the same unction of blessing that is upon your life is upon that person. But when you decide to marry somebody, you carry another man bone, or you go and attach yourself to another man woman bone, then you will face it tomorrow. So I think wisdom tells us to do what is right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. For this person's question to be understood, he gave a brief background.
Okay.
Paraphrased. In a family where a family, a so-called family friend, became a problem, it goes, some years back, my mom and dad had serious issues because of one woman that claimed to be a very good family friend, but behind the scene was in a serious relationship with my dad. When we all discovered, we were all not happy, and my mom was emotionally broken, which ended up leading to serious breakdown health-wise. Everything in the house was sincerely bad. Then as a Christian, I began to pray that whatever and whoever it is that is causing trouble in this house should die. Months later, the woman fell sick and thereafter she died. Since then, I've been very guilty and my heart is very heavy for the prayer I did. How can I get rid of this guilt?
You have, I think the first question that came on board to this, how do I know that my sins are forgiven? If you shall confess your sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is a past thing. It has happened, it has happened. But having asked for forgiveness from God, he forgives you. But don't go and pray such prayer again another time. Lord, deliver my family from the hands of the wicked. That would have been a nice prayer to pray. We were all guilty of that before. But as you keep growing, you are forming into a image. You're beginning to know. You don't see Jesus pray such prayer. You say, Lord, save my family from the ends of the tormentor. Then, if God decides to say, okay, let the person die the time you need to die, that is only matter. Thank you so much. But if today you have asked God for forgiveness, he has forgiven you and he has cleansed you. God did not even remember it. You too should not remember it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, sir. This person wants to know, what are the ways that God leads his people?
What are the ways that God leads his people? Let me first answer, God leads his people in his own way. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The first way that God led his people is to bear witness into your heart. Just maybe a thought came to your heart to do something. That's if it is a good one. And if you want to know whether this thought that comes to you is of God, it will confirm it in his word. Let me show you something that happened in Joshua chapter 14, verse 7. Joshua 14, 7. "40 years old was I, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spies out the land. And I brought in word again, as it was in my heart." I brought in word as it was in my heart. Now, it is the report that Caleb brought to Moses was in his heart. It means the Holy Ghost lead us to our heart, inner witness. Again, it led us by the word of God. Anything that God says that you are acting upon is God leading you. Anything you can read from the word of God, like a sister gave us a testimony that he was praying one day, "Lord, what will he do?" And he said, God led him to the book of Esther. And he read Esther chapter 2. And what came to her heart was that as the maiden were prepared to appear before king, they gave them perfume. The issue of selling perfume came to her heart. And from there, God opened doors for her through selling of perfume. And another one attended a meeting where the preacher was preaching that Isaac dig, redig the well that Abraham his father did. That you can, some person could continue with their father's or mother's business. And somebody, his mother selling food, just the local restaurant. He now began to improve on it. Today is a very mighty eatery. So through the word of God, the idea came. So God led us through the inner witness. He equally led us by his word. Because in the olden days, he spoke unto us by the prophet. But now in our day, he spoke to us by his word. Go to Hebrews chapter 1, 3 verse 1. God has sundry times and in diverse manner speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now when you hear his son, what is his son? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is the word of God. So you can receive guidance by the word of God. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question says, how can one be conscious of the glory of God always?
Okay, may I ask a question? How do you know that you are hungry? If someone wake up in the morning, he didn't eat anything till around 6 p.m. in the evening, how will he know that he has not eaten? He will feel hungry. I mean, Not only that, his saliva will change. You too now, to know that you must be conscious of God's glory. If you have not heard from God, you have not read, you have not prayed, you know that, you should know that something is missing. Do you understand now? Or how do you know that you need to take your bed? If you have not bathed from morning to evening, till the following day, what next happened to you? You feel not comfortable, then you need to wait. Or let me just come like this. Now, if you wake up the first day you eat, the second day you eat without brushing, the third day you eat without brushing, how do you know that you need to brush? You will know that your teeth start smelling, and you know that you are no longer comfortable. What is the next thing that comes to your heart? You need to clean. And the same thing applicable. Because every day you must be hungry and thirsty for God. The day you get satisfied with God, then you are not started. You must keep hungry for Him. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And in one of the teachings, we are told that there are levels of glory.
There is no level of glory. Glory is one. But there is a level of entry. There is a level of entry. God is one. God cannot be improved on. God cannot be reduced. God cannot reduce, cannot increase. But you are the one increasing as you keep entering. There's an example in Ezekiel 47. Let's read it. It will help us. You see that the volume of the water, the level of the water remain the same, but the level of entering are different. Your level of understanding of God's word is what determines your level, the level of God's glory that will be manifested through your life. But the glory of God has no. When you say the glory of the sun is different from the glory of the moon, and the glory of the moon is different from the glory of the stars, it means sun, moon, and star, they are not the same. Is that true? And their level of approach is different. Likewise, if we read this passage very well, maybe I would like somebody to help me to read from verse 1. Ezekiel 47, somebody should help me.
Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar.
You know.
Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles.
I want you to begin to take note from that passage. When he took the measurement, it was 1,000 cubits. But when he brought to him, it was an ankle. Read the next verse.
And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees.
Are you seeing the difference now?
Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins.
Are you seeing it now? Excuse me. Has anything changed from the water level? What is changing now? We cannot comprehend God, all of God, one day. So the more you comprehend Him, the more His glory that will be manifested through your life. There is no different level of glory. Glory, the glory of God is one, but there is different level of entry. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This question says, what are the differences between father, and mentor. And then can one have more than one father and more than a mentor?
1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15. 1 Corinthians 4 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors, mentors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. No one can have two spiritual fathers without being confused. You end up confused. But you can have as many mentors, as many instructors as you can. But you can only have a father. And let me tell you this. You can only receive impartation genuinely from the father. Instructor will guide you or just tell you what to do on all of this. Because instructor knew that you cannot remain with him. You can't stay with him. You don't share the same idea. So you have seen from this scripture that you may have as many mentors as you can. You can receive from them. But a father is one. In the sense that most of those mentors, some of them, you will never see them until you die. But the father. Okay, now, can you tell me now, physically, if you say you have two fathers, what will people call you? Eh? No, bro, no, I have many of the students that I didn't know them. They call him their father, but yes, he didn't know them. So, advisable and with biblically speaking, you may have thousands of instructors, mentors, as you may call it, or disciples, or the whatever. But father, that father, the meaning of father that maybe I want you to know is that the father knew that all his intention is that exactly what he carry, the son should carry. That is why biologically you want to send your son or your daughter to the best school. Is that not so? Because you want the best for that. But hardly before you see any instructor that want the best for your life. The father you can say, have you ever had somebody who has a father in this world? He has never seen the father for once. Only on Facebook. Eh? But you know what we call father is the one you can run to any day, anytime. You know his lifestyle, you know his house, you know where he lives, you know all this. But most of the mentors we cry about today, we have never seen them before. We have never made them praying. All of these things are not there. I think it is advisable to choose. You cannot have even two fathers, only one. But you can have as many instructors as you can. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is fasting a necessity for every Christian?
Come again.
Is fasting necessary for every Christian?
More than necessary. Because Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast, when you do it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head. Let's start from 16. Moreover, when ye fast, that's Jesus speaking, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy father, which is in secret, and thy father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Fasting is what to do. When you do it, It means fasting is compulsory. It's mandatory. But you do it based on your capacity. Do it based on your willingness. Do it based on how you are led. Do you understand that? Don't see somebody that say you see somebody fasting for 100 days. You go and dare it. That becomes a competition. You may not get any results here. And when you are doing your fasting, instruction has been given. Don't let people know that you are fasting. So that is it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If you have a purpose in life and you do not fulfill it, and you died, will God send another person to fulfill such a purpose?
Is that your business when you have died? He'll be pleasing in me. What should concern you is your own that you don't fulfill. So you should try to fulfill your own. Because even if God send another person to go and continue what you don't, what is your business? You have gone. Do you understand? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How many eternal lives do we have?
One. There is not two.
There's part of the question.
It's one.
It says that Satan, the eternal life, Satan has his own and God has his own.
Satan has no eternal life. He has eternal death. Eternal damnation, that's what Satan has. Not eternal life. That is why when you read your Bible, you say, we're dead. Let's read. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. Ephesians 2, not Philippians 2, please. Thank you. And you have he quickened. Who were dead? You see the word? Who were dead in trespasses and sin. What does it mean? And you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. So the day that Satan polluted the life that God gave to Adam, that life became eternal death, separated from God. So Satan has no eternal life but eternal death. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. It is written, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The moment you lay hands on the sick, what should be in your heart at that time?
What? You know that when you lay hands on the sick, you should know that the sick shall recover. But it is not automatic. Because your heart must capture it, your mind must capture it. Without prayer and the word of God, doubt will be in your heart. Because we receive faith, we have faith through the word of God. I'm not talking of just reading the Bible, but understanding what God said in His word. His word built faith. So when faith comes to your heart, the unbelief leaves. By the time you realize it, you understand, you comprehend to the point that the life that is in Jesus is in me. If I stretch out my hands now, it's the same as Jesus is stretching for His hand. When you bring yourself to that point, it will flow. But don't go and lay hand on the sick because you see somebody lay hand on the sick. The sick may not receive God. That is why you have to be in God's presence to build faith through the word of God. Prayer does not build faith. Prayer, only the word of God builds faith. So when faith has come, then prayer goes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How do I manifest the gifts of God in life? Because I'm very confused.
The gifts of God can only be manifested when you go into action. Let's assume that you pray and fast and study the word of God for 100 days. You refuse to go out to share with people what God has revealed to you or into you. Then the gift of God cannot be manifested. The gift of God comes to manifestation as you talk to others. The gift of God comes into manifestation as you preach to others. The gift of God will come to manifestation through action. If you fast for 100 days, study for 100 days without going out to share anything, nothing will flow to others. That is why we pray and we preach. When you pray, you are connected to God. When you preach, you connect to people. So, when you pray, you receive from God. When you preach, you release to people. Don't forget that. So, the gifts of God only find manifestation through action. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How can one test the Spirit to know them accordingly?
Come again.
That is, according to 1 John 4, how can one test the Spirit?
Whether it is they are of God. It is clear there. Let's read from verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, from verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is this. It is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that he should come. And even now, already is in the world. We see it today everywhere. It's everywhere. But the key note then, everyone that confesses Jesus is the reason for our existence. He is the solution to the entire world. Jesus did not only bring solution, he is the solution. He did not only come to save us, he is the savior. Jesus did not only come to give us life, he is the life. So anywhere anywhere that Jesus is not emphasized, how he died for your sins, how he was buried for your sake, for your forgetfulness, how he was raised from the dead for your justification, how he ascended to heaven for the release of the Holy Spirit, he said, note that this is not of God. If we get to many places today now, to mention the cross of Christ becoming problem, is no longer existing. Yet that there lies the power of God. You will see even Jesus himself, in his 3.5 years of ministry, he will preach, he will teach before healing. But today you see some people who just do hand like this, you fall to the direction of their hands. As wonderful as they look like, did they tell you what Jesus came to do for you? Did they tell you what Jesus has done for you? Did they tell you what Jesus is doing in your life through the Holy Ghost and the Word of God? Did he tell you what Jesus is doing for you presently at the right hand of God? But don't know that we love those ones because we hate responsibility. We don't want to accept responsibility. It is clearly written there that everyone that confessed that Jesus is Jesus Christ, not that the thing resembles Jesus. Brother Paul said, him we preach. We don't preach about him, we preach him. Give us Colossians chapter 1. See, him we preach, verse 28. The prophet of God we have in our midst, did he tell you about Jesus every now and then? You see, when people come to him for counseling, he will lead them to Christ. He will still give them the word of God to be confessing. But if you hear the story, go and buy water, go and buy this, go and bury this, go and bury that. Nonsense. Say, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Is that your Bible? Who do the men of old, the apostles, who do they preach? Jesus. So the 100 people are here, they are going to fall into this direction. At the end of it, please give them Jesus. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. What does the scripture mean by standing according to Ephesians 6:13b?
Standing according to Ephesians what?
6:13b.
Good and fine. You know, before you stand, you have to sit. Before standing is what? When a child is born, what is the first stage of his development? Sitting. If a child never sits, he can never stand. Now, when he says stand, stand means stand against the devil. But before you can stand against the devil, you must first sit together with Christ at the position of authority and victory. Ephesians mentioned three things. That's the summary of the whole Ephesians. Sit, walk, and stand. You sit together with Christ, that is not your job. That is what Jesus has done. We are seated together with him. But to walk as Christ walked is your work. And to stand is your responsibility. Give us Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together. He is the one that made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the law, beseech you that you walk. Do you know the word, meaning of walk? Worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That is bringing out the life of Christ as we relate with people. That's walk. Then in chapter 6, it says stand. You stand against the devil. You sit together with Christ. You walk worthy of the law with brethren, with people, with human beings, and you stand against the devil. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. What are the treasures in heaven which Jesus spoke about in Matthew 6:19-24?
Treasures in heaven?
Treasures.
Yeah, I know. I said treasure. Did you say treasure or treasures? Let's go there. Matthew what?
6:19.
Yeah, let's see. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do it corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But when you look at this scripture, it was dealing with the issue of what? Giving. Because he concluded by giving to the work of God and for Christ's sake. And the treasure you'll be laying up in heaven is life eternal. Give us a Mark. Give us Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to 30. Mark 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lay low, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left out, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. Verse 30. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and wives with persecution, and in the world to come eternal life. And in the world to come, that's in heaven, you will have the right to eat of the tree of life.
If we read
what is saying in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation, you will have the right to eat of the tree of life, they that overcome. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So how can I lay up these treasures in my daily life?
And that is what he said. Whosoever do what? Give it your left house, your left something for God's sake, and the gospel. Maybe just say, brother, I was more eating, you know that this person needs food, and the Holy Ghost minister to you, minister to that person. As you do it, you are ministering to Jesus. Because when he talks in chapter 25 of Matthew, he says something. He says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was naked, you clothed me. And the righteous said, we are with you. Do we see you? He said, when you do it to one of them, this week you have done it unto me. If I see a brother or a sister and I decide to help that person, I'm not helping that sister. I'm helping him. And the one on the left say, you see me hungry, you refuse to do anything. Some people have it, they say, well, the Bible says we should ask. Excuse me. You know, the Spirit of God tells you that this person has issue like this. Minister to this person, say, no, I'm waiting until he asks. You are a selfish person. He may not ask you, and the reward will go to another person that saw and do. Because when I read my Bible, it didn't say, whosoever that his brother asks of need. It said, whosoever sees his brother in need. Do you read your Bible like that? 1 John chapter 3. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us read 17. But whoso hath this was good, and seeth his brother have need. It is say, whosoever hath this was good, and his brother ask him, and seeth. Because one reason God even gave you the wealth or the material resources is for the benefit of others, not for your own benefit alone. And fear his brother had me and shorted up his bowels of compassion for him. How dwelleth the law of God in him? You know that maybe your brother or your sister have issues. You take it to the Lord in prayer. You don't need to tell the person. Then when that person is delivered, he will glorify God. So that is the way to lay all treasure in heaven.
Thank you, sir. In mentorship, can a man mentor the woman when it comes to calling?
It is advisable that a woman should be mentored by a woman. And if a man will mentor a woman, that man of God must involve his wife. Please take note. Very, very important. Very, very important. I don't mentor any woman because I only mentor only brethren. Let's say for instance, you say you want to mentor someone, and that person is married, and they tell the husband you have 9 kids, and they ask you where, stay in the church, with who, with Apostle Congo. Now, he comes for the first time, the second time, the husband will say, what of his wife? Is his wife in the meeting? If you say the wife is not in the meeting, Apostle Konko, you are doing legal business. Even though if your motive is pure, your integrity may be tarnished. It is advisable, if you receive a call as a woman, look for another woman of God that God will help, that God will use to develop you. And if at all God directed you to a man of God, then you should be closer to this wife than to the man. Is that clear now? Do you get the point? Somebody will ask one man of God one day. See? Daddy, my own work in this ministry, my service here, I want to be coming to cook for you. The man of God said, look, my wife is here. If I thought you want to come and cook for me, go and meet my wife and make that request. If my wife granted you, good and fine. You know what happened? The lady now went to the wife. And the wife said, no, that is my own duty. You can find other things to do. Very important. Do you understand now? So, if you are looking for a mentor as a woman, please look for another woman of God. Eh? Do you hear what I say? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And is a woman's calling attached to her husband's calling? If yes, how can she fulfill it if the man is not serious to enter his own?
Hallelujah. How do you know that the man is not serious to enter his own calling? If the man seems not serious to be serious, pray to God that God will make the man to be serious. Then encourage your husband to be serious with the calling. But when you are encouraging him, don't direct him. Don't command him. Encourage him prayerfully. Say, my husband, let's pray for 2 hours today as concerning our calling. So you can gradually be shocked. And in your closet too, be praying for your husband. Lord, let my husband be serious with his God. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. But the first part of that question says, is the woman's calling attached to her husband's calling?
Yes and no. Why I say yes and no, it is. We have Deborah in the Bible. Someone calling, a man calling maybe to be the administrator of an organization. And the wife assigning is different in the organization. So if a man is an administrator and a woman is not an administrator, yes, the calling is the same. What should be the best wisdom? The husband should handle the administrative aspect of it. And the wife, like this great woman of God, Joyce Meyer, he's a preacher. I think I've never seen the husband preaching. But the husband does the administrative of it. So that's why I say yes, at the same time, no. Do you get the point now? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Still part of the question, it says, if the man is not serious to enter into his own. If no, how can she fulfill if the husband does not allow her to thrive in her gift?
That is what I said earlier. If the husband seems not to be serious, let me not use that is not serious. Seems not to be serious. It is your duty as a wife to pray to God. To break the power, what makes the man not seem to be serious. You can do that. And don't tell your husband that you are doing that. Do it as service to the Lord. I want to assure you, something great will come out. Yes. Don't say, well, you man, since you are not serious in your calling, I want to be serious with my own. It will cause trouble. It means you are violating a law. A great law. There must be cooperation in the matter. Thank you so much.
Well, sir, somebody is asking further that if the calling is not really in the ministry, it's in something else.
If it is something else, go for that something else. Happy? Yes. Why I only like to use ministry is because what I am acquainted with. But other callings in other, maybe in politics, in education, in all of this, there must be an agreement. So I seem like going like this. My husband, what do you see to it? Now, if that going that you want to go is of God, and you have spoken to God as we say, Lord, as you have spoken to me concerning this matter, please make known to my husband. Will God do that?
Yes.
Well, I think the challenges we have, one of the challenges we have is that we only like to show. We only like to show that I'm the one that is anointed. My husband is not anointed at all. I'm the one that used to pray. My husband doesn't pray at all. If it were not me, this I would have not stand. Actually, it is you that make it not to stand with. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. So I want you to explain John 17:38.
John 17:38. No, it doesn't reach 38. John 17 does not reach chapter 38. John 17 or John 7.
What?
John 17 did not reach 38. John 7 reached 38.
The person is talking about
out of his belly.
Yes.
Shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes.
That's John 17:38, not John 17:38. So what did he want me to explain there? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yes. I think yesterday we were in the meeting here, by the grace of God, we were able to explain. As you pray continuously in the Holy Ghost, that virtues that is in you will come out. As you meditate on the word of God, that virtue will be finding expression. Flow rivers of living water, simply mean the deposit of God in you will find expression. That's what we are saying. Number one, you must learn, you must understand the word of God, then pray continuously in the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, Jesus said, go and sin no more. From this passage, the person is asking whether sin causes the sicknesses.
What is the genesis of trouble today? Without sin, there will be no sickness. And what led to sin is the disagreement with what God said. When you disagree with what God said, then sin comes. Because the first thing is that, did God really say it? And the woman will say, yes, God said. And Satan said, God didn't really mean what he said. So doubting the word of God is the greatest thing. He said, let me read the passage for you. John 16, from verse 7, from verse 6. But because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, it is advantage for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That's it. And when he is come, he will convince, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. So the moment you have disagreement with the word of God, you will already sin. See, whatever that is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. So sin began when you disagree with the word of God. God said you are here with his right. Say, up to now the pain is there. Already laughing, and the sickness will continue. He that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So sin began when the word of God is what? Is rejected. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I need explanation of Proverbs 13:24.
Proverbs 13:24. It needs an explanation. Let's read it. Proverbs 13, verse 30. Is it 13 or 30?
13, 24.
Thank you. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth his son, she spineth him before time. Betimes. What does it mean? What is the rod? Rod, it didn't say he that spareth his king. It's a rod. And the rod in the Bible is the word of God. Please, give us Micah chapter 6, verse 9. The lost boys cried unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod. Hear ye the rod, and who hath anointed it? The rod is God's word. It says, he that speareth, the scripture says, he that speareth, he that refused to give godly advice to his son. This is what he's talking about. The rod does not mean God removes stick. No. Let me tell you, flogging a child does not change that child. Because what made the child to do what the child is doing is in his heart. It's inside. The only power that can change any heart is the word of God. See, hear ye the rod, and he that appointed him. Now, Micah chapter 7, verse 14. For it says, feed thy people with thy rod. Do you notice again? And so if the rod is king, would God say, hear the king? Can you hear the king? If the rod means king, will you say, feed thy people with rod? So that he that refused to give his son the word of God. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is praying on objects such as picture or anointing picture or bringing picture for to prayer lines, are these biblical?
Come again.
Is praying on pictures,
yeah,
that is taking pictures for prayers, and whether these are biblical?
It's biblical. If the person you want to pray for is not there, you can use his picture as a point of contact. There's nothing wrong about that. Nothing wrong about that. We've anointed by the grace of God, someone gave birth in Onitsha, and the woman died. But the child was alive. And the mother called us. We told the mother, do you have the person picture with you? Say yes. Please bring the picture. And the mother brought the picture. That's the mother to the lady that died now. And we are about 7 or 8 of us there. We anointed the picture and said, Lord, perfect your work on this life. And in the evening, the thing occurred like yesterday. And they brought the picture this morning. And in the evening, we were told that the woman came back to life. The picture, a point of contact. So it works. But I don't know in another way again. Maybe I don't know whether that's what that the person means. But another thing, somebody cannot now carry my picture now. Say, this man is a man of God. Answer me through this man. That will become idol. That is not scriptural. Or you go to where they bury Elijah. Say, no, you are going to idol. We pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. This person is also asking, why do we go to church?
Why do we go to church? It's to be strengthened. Psalm 84, verse 7. They go from strength to strength, everyone that appeareth in Zion. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeared before God. You will be sensing that something you don't know, you will know. Something happened to David. Psalm 73, verse 1 and 2, then we jump to verse 16 and 17. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My flesh had well near sleep. When I thought to know. No. Give me verse 3 first. Please, I'm dealing with matter. Thank you. Verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Those who doesn't go to church, those who doesn't know God at all, they are prospering. And David said he was envious of it. Then verse 16 said, the thing disturbed me more. But when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He thinks he couldn't get results. But verse 17 says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their hand. There are things that you wanted to know, you may not know on your own. You may come to a gathering of the believer. The thing will be open up to you. So assembly, fellowship with brethren is very, very important. There you'll be strengthened. There some things you may not be able to know personally. It may be open to you there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The person also wants to know whether clapping. I don't understand. Clapping and praying is the sin.
If you are afraid that clapping and praying is a sin, it has to be a sin. But why do you clap when you are praying? It's to dismantle your dizziness. I say, if you are alone, let's assume you just wake up, God just help you wake up around 1 a.m. and you decide to pray. You did not wash your face, you did not brush your teeth, you didn't do any exercise. You know, before 10 minutes, you may go again. Is that true? You may say, Father, thank you. The next Father, thank you, is in London. But wisdom tells you can wake up and bound your hands together. Just thank. Before you know what is happening, you are awake. See, you understand? Only a madman will be clapping and be sleeping. A normal woman cannot be clapping and be sleeping. You know, you see some people, it's as if they are vampires in sleep. In fact, in the midst of prayer, they may be praying like this, they have gone. I wonder why. So when you are praying and clapping hands, you are only helping yourself when you know that you have not fully waking up. You are not fully awake. How many of you sincerely speaking will be true to yourself that you ever wake up in the night to pray and you slept off? You start praying, you know. Abi? You know, some of us will normally do some funny thing. You wake up from sleep and you say you want to lie down to pray. What do you simply tell yourself? You are going for the second round. So when you jump up like that, you clap your hand just to make sure you are fully awake. Do you understand? If you wouldn't mind, the moment you wake up, go to your bedroom, brush your teeth, wash your face. If possible, do a little exercise. You will be fully awake, then you will sit down to start something. But if you wake up from sleep and you say you want to lie down to pray, I guarantee your deep sleep afresh. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So how can we overcome negative thoughts and bad influence?
Yeah, the word of God is what? The word of God you take in. It's when negative thoughts come, the word of God will answer that, no, this is not yours. That's all this time. Maybe you just have a thought that you die. And the word of God says you shall not die but live. Immediately you declare the word of God, that thought goes. Again, God's children doesn't die. Hear me again. God's children does not die. They only transit. They go. Where God told Abraham in Genesis 15:15, say, you shall go to your father's in peace. He didn't say you will die. You shall go to your father's in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. And Jesus demonstrated it on the cross. Jesus did not die on the cross. Jesus only commend his spirit unto God. Jesus gave his spirit to God. Do you? Oh my God. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. He did not say one day you will die. Yeah? You will go to your father. That's why when the righteous man wants to go, he is aware. Some of them will gather the family and pray and say, okay, by the grace of God, they will be going home. The angels that will lead me home, they are already here. Huh? And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He didn't die. He was a transit. Do you understand now? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This person wants to know the use of the book of Songs of
Song of Solomon
in the Bible.
You want to know the meaning?
No, that what is the use of that book in the
Bible? What is the use of that
book in the Bible? Songs of Songs.
The use of that book
in the Bible.
The book of Song of Solomon. That's the best song. One of the best. The song out of many songs. You know, it has 1,005 songs, and one of it is the Song of Solomon. Have you? And the book of the Song of Solomon talks about the love of God. The relationship between the father and the children. That's all of it. It talks about the intimate love, the faltering love, the diminishing love, and the... You see all those ones there. Do you understand? Let me show you something. Song of Solomon, let's read chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 1. Give me verse 2 first and verse 4. I will read only 2 today. We may do a study there one day. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What is that? It means a child of God, a son of God is talking to the Father. For thy love is better than wine. Now, the two statements made here was the statement of a son to the father. But when you get to verse 4, draw me, we will run after you. Do you see that grammar there? Draw me, we will run after you. Me, we. It means when God lay hold of one man, Jesus, God draw Jesus. There are many children of God run after. Draw me, we will run after thee. It means by the obedience of Jesus alone, many were made righteous. Oh my God. Are we together? So that's it. Thank you. So the Song of Solomon speaks of the relationship, the fellowship of the Father and the Son.
Thank you, sir. So how can we be the light of the world of God?
How can we be the light
of the world?
Of this world.
Yes, sir.
It's okay. By allowing the word of God to become you. That is simple thing I can say. Because the more the word of God becomes you, the more the world will hate you. Because darkness hates light. The world is darkness. And the word of God is light. That is why when Jesus called the disciples, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Meaning, Jesus was the only fishers of men then. Say, follow me, I will become you. This is just the secret. I will make me, I will become you. And that was the statement that God himself made when he created man. Come, let us make man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And are not made man. You will see all those statements later. So, what does it mean? Make me God becoming man. So that's how to become the light of the world. Because Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you in John chapter 8, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you. No, not all. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have, look at that statement, for shall have the light of life. It means the life of Jesus will become that person's life. This is it. Thank you.
But you said manifesting God's glory means God breaking forth in your life. What if God does not speak to us? Should we wait on him?
Excuse me. The Bible, what is written in the Bible, is the word of God. Whenever you are reading the Bible, who are you hearing from? You are hearing God's voice now. Abi? Because the word of God is the voice of God. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, acting thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. It means the voice of God is the word of God. That's why in Genesis chapter 3, he said, I heard your voice walking. So, if we really want to be addicted to hearing God's voice, then get married to listening to the word of God. In fact, your prayer will never be effective without the word of God. So, when you understand the word of God, you have heard the voice of God. So, when you say God is not speaking, no, God doesn't keep malice. God does not keep malice. And when you read your Bible again, in Psalm 62 verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. So God speaks. If God is not speaking at all, at all, at all, we will have been all dead. Thank you. Or you say, Lord, open my ears to hear you, and open my heart to understand. The word of God is the voice of God. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How do we walk in the supernatural, even as Jesus walked in the supernatural?
Actually, sincerely speaking, supernatural is the natural life of a believer. It is because of lack of understanding that makes us to struggle before with it. How many of you, please, you pray for you to eat food? The prayer you pray when you food is provided for you is to thank God for the provision, is that not so? But you don't pray to eat. You eat naturally. Do you understand my point? Now, when food is present, you just eat. The question is that, who taught you how to eat? It's a natural something. And there is no one, no mature individual that will carry food, pick food and put it in his nose. But is that not old there? Why didn't they try to use to put food through your nose? Why do you know that you have to pass through mouth? It's a natural life. So supernatural is actually the natural life of a believer who understands. Walking in supernatural is a natural something. Do you understand the point? But a child, okay, now, you know, a mature person that speaks, that talks, did they find it difficult to utter a word? To utter words? No. But a child that is starting to, well, sometimes say, ba, 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 you know what I'm saying? When they did not call it well, what happened to the parent? They correct the child. A time will come that the child starts speaking. How many of you say, pray, say, Lord, help me to walk from here to Boston? You know, walking is a natural thing to you. Is that not so? You don't find it difficult. But please, a crippled person, what happened? Why was it difficult for a crippled person to walk? Because he's crippled. And when a child started walking, he fell down several times. Why? He has not mastered it. So what the Word of God does, or what the Holy Ghost does to us, to train us to understand that we were created to walk in the supernatural. Thank you.
What is the significance of the blood of Jesus in my life?
Good. It's a very great thing now. The significance of the blood of Jesus Christ in our life is simply the life of Jesus Christ imputed into our lives. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. Thank you. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, the communion. I mean, I have partook in Holy Communion before many. Now, let me tell you the mystery. Eating the flesh of Jesus. Eh? You know the flesh, before you eat the flesh of Jesus, it was broken. Is that not so? That's the symbol that you are finished. Eating the flesh of Jesus simply means you are no more as a man. Then drinking his blood simply means you have his life. That's when Jesus was teaching, he said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my flesh is drink indeed. In John chapter 6, verse 55 or thereabout. Now the first word to say that he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath dwelleth in me and I in him, or dwelleth in God and God in him. As the living Father has sent me, that's 57 now, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So the blood of Jesus Christ is the means of understanding that the life of God is in you. That's number one. Number two, significance of the blood of Jesus Christ. When the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, you will be secure from the attack of the evil one. When I see that blood, I will pass over. So it means one of the significance of the blood of Jesus Christ is that the evil will pass over you. Another significance is that he ushered you into God's presence. We come boldly into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Christ. Thank you. There are more, but this one is okay for you for today.
Thank you, sir. The Bible says, when you give a gift,
when you give a gift, okay,
the other person should not see or know. Is it good to announce what you give to the church?
It's not good. That is just a simple truth. But if you share with your colleagues that the Spirit of God minister to me to do something, that is a different thing. But to go to the public and announce is not biblical. Matthew chapter 6, let's read from verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen. Verse 1. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. I don't need Luke. I don't need Matthew 6:11. Thank you. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy harm, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be seen in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they are their reward. Then the next verse. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Clear? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And perhaps the final question. It says, is it good for a married couple to meet the demands of their relations separately? For example, the man meets or attends to the needs of his relations while his wife do so to her own relations.
Where understanding is down. There is nothing wrong telling your husband, this is what I intend to do to my wife and to my parents. And the husband, there is nothing wrong when you want to minister to your parents. My wife, this is what I intend to do. That would be the best. That's a trust. But when you see a couple, somebody start ministering to his own parents and to our own parents differently without anything, there is no trust. So it will be better to let your husband know and to let your wife know when you are ministering to them. That will be the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. With this question, we have come to the end of this session of questions and answers. Call on our Father in the Lord to close the session with prayers.
Father, we bless you. Thank you for what you have given to us. More than what we have said, we know that Holy Spirit, you will enlighten us the more. In the name of Jesus, that this question and answer will bring glory to your name and will bring life and spirit to us. It will turn us to a channel of blessing to others, to the glory and to the honor of your name. Heal the brokenhearted. Touch everyone in the name of Jesus. Heal everyone that needs healing. Transform everyone that needs transformation. Strengthen everyone that needs to be strengthened. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message.
For more of our messages, visit our website www.thecream.org.ng
or call the following numbers for more inquiries:
081-3553-7845,
080-6061-8421,
0706227-0070.
081-32-914775. Jesus is Lord.